Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. One Day, Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This by Omar El-Akkad is a pointed work of political and moral commentary that confronts how contemporary violence is narrated, justified, and eventually rewritten. Known for fiction that blends intimate human stories with sharp critique, El-Akkad here turns his attention to the public record, the headlines, official statements, and cultural reflexes that shape what people are told to feel and when. The title signals the book's central concern, the way societies often claim retrospective innocence after having participated in, enabled, or excused cruelty in real time. Moving between personal vantage and broader analysis, the book interrogates liberal democracies, media ecosystems, and the language of national security, asking what is required to see suffering clearly rather than as an abstraction. It also probes complicity, the temptation of comfort, and the fragile line between empathy and performance. The result is a compact but forceful call to reckon with the present before it becomes a sanitized past. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the machinery of narrative and the rewriting of history. A central thread of the book is how public narratives are manufactured during moments of crisis and then revised once the moral stakes become undeniable. El-Akkad examines the familiar arc: an atrocity occurs, institutions offer sanitized language, and audiences are nudged towards selective outrage or strategic indifference. Later, when consensus shifts, many claim they were always on the right side. The book is less interested in isolated hypocrisy than in the infrastructure that makes this cycle reliable, from political rhetoric to media incentives and social conformity. It highlights how certain lies are framed as grievable and others as statistics, and how that framing sets the boundaries of acceptable concern. By tracing the movement from real-time justification to after-the-fact condemnation, the book presses readers to notice the early signals of historical revisionism, euphemisms, passive voice, and the moral distancing built into official communications. The deeper question is not only who lies, but what audiences are trained to accept as truth. In that sense, the book treats memory as contested terrain and asks readers to resist the comfort of retrospective virtue by paying attention to the narratives being built now. Secondly, complicity, comfort, and the cost of looking away. El-Akkad interrogates complicity not as a dramatic personal failing, but as an everyday condition for people living within powerful states and stable systems. The book explores how comfort is maintained through distance, distraction, and the belief that responsibility belongs elsewhere. Rather than limiting responsibility to direct perpetrators, it asks what it means to benefit from structures that produce harm abroad and inequality at home. This includes the consumption of news as entertainment, the urge to treat suffering as a debate topic, and the habit of outsourcing moral judgment to institutions that have their own interests. The analysis pushes readers to consider the subtle bargains that make passivity feel reasonable. I do not know enough. My voice does not matter. The situation is too complex. Someone else will act. The book challenges those defenses by linking them to outcomes, showing how inaction is not neutral when it consistently advantages the already powerful. At the same time, it acknowledges the psychological difficulty of sustained attention to cruelty and the temptation to protect oneself with cynicism. The result is a demanding but practical moral inquiry. What forms of participation, refusal, and solidarity are available, and what does it cost to choose them? Thirdly, language, euphemism, and the normalization of violence. The book pays close attention to language as a tool that can either illuminate reality or conceal it. El-Akkad focuses on the euphemisms that make mass suffering sound procedural: collateral damage, targeted strikes, unfortunate incidents, security operations. Such terms do not merely describe events, they shape how events are felt. When violence is packaged in bureaucratic phrasing, the emotional and moral response is dampened, and the threshold for acceptable harm rises. The book also considers how repetition normalizes the intolerable, especially when institutions and media outlets coordinate around a shared vocabulary. Over time, audiences learn which deaths require names and photos and which can be reduced to numbers. By exposing these linguistic patterns, El-Akkad invites readers to practice a kind of moral literacy, noticing passive constructions that erase agency, questioning abstractions that hide bodies, and resisting metaphors that turn people into threats. The argument is not that words alone cause violence, but that language can clear the path for it by removing urgency and responsibility. This focus makes the book valuable for readers who want to understand how public consent is manufactured and how more truthful speech can become a form of resistance. Fourthly, the limits of liberalism and the performance of empathy. El-Akkad challenges readers to examine the gap between stated values and practice politics in liberal democracies. The book probes how commitments to human rights, equality, and the rule of law can become conditional, invoked passionately for some populations while suspended for others. It raises questions about selective application of moral principles, especially during conflict, when fear-based narratives often override protections that are supposed to be universal. Alongside institutional critique, Ellicott also interrogates the personal and cultural performance of empathy. Public displays of solidarity can become substitutes for material action, and moral identity can become more important than moral outcome. The book highlights the ways social and professional incentives reward safe expressions of concern while punishing riskier forms of dissent. It asks what empathy looks like when it costs something, relationships, status, career stability, or a sense of belonging. This topic reframes the debate from whether people care to whether care translates into consistent standards and tangible choices. The critique is not purely pessimistic. It aims to clarify where liberal rhetoric fails so that readers can decide what kind of politics and community are needed to make professed values real rather than ornamental. Lastly, moral urgency in the present, not after the fact. The title gestures toward a future moment of collective denial, and the book uses that idea to insist on moral urgency now. Ellicott emphasizes that history is not simply discovered later, it is produced through contemporary decisions. What gets reported, what gets funded, way, manus, and nations. He asks readers to consider how easily current events will be sanitized into lessons about inevitable progress, and how that story functions as an escape hatch from responsibility. By focusing on the present tense, the book challenges the reader to move from analysis to choice. What do you do with information you cannot unsee? How do you avoid being absorbed into the default posture of passive spectatorship? The book suggests that taking a stand is less about achieving purity and more about refusing the comforts that depend on someone else being harmed. It also implicitly encourages building habits that outlast a news cycle, sustained attention, principled consistency, and solidarity that is not limited by borders or media trends. In this way, the work becomes a guide to ethical orientation, pressing the reader to align daily life with stated convictions before the record is rewritten. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want more than a summary of events and more than a conventional argument about politics. It will resonate with people interested in contemporary history, media criticism, human rights, and the moral consequences of citizenship in powerful states. It is also valuable for readers who sense a mismatch between public language and lived reality, and who want a clearer framework for recognizing how that mismatch is produced. The benefits are practical as well as philosophical. The book sharpens your ability to detect euphemism, spot selective outrage, and question narratives that ask you to accept distant suffering as normal. It encourages a more honest accounting of personal complicity and a more durable form of empathy, one that aims for consistent principles and tangible choices rather than symbolic alignment. Compared to similar books that rely heavily on policy prescriptions or abstract theory, Ellicott's approach stands out for its moral clarity and its attention to the everyday mechanisms of denial. It connects institutional critique to the inner life of the reader, making the argument harder to dismiss as someone else's problem. If you want a compact, forceful work that challenges you to think and act before history is rewritten, this book is worth buying. If you would like to support Omar Ellicott, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.